Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. Normally, the New York Frieze Art Fair is held on Randall's Island, but this year it's happening online. And today is the final day you can check out more than 200 exhibitions from galleries around the globe. In the virtual viewing room, accessed through its website or through the Frieze Viewing Room app, you can browse the work of Henry Darger one moment, or Oliver Herring, Jenny Holzer, and Lorna Simpson the next. You can virtually visit local galleries like David Zwirner or Hauser & Wirth, for example, to see what's on display. And there's something that's sort of interesting. You can see the prices. So go ahead and window shop for that Alex Katz piece for $725,000. Lauren Randolph is Artistic Director of Frieze New York, and she joins us now. Lauren, welcome to All of It.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
What elements of the Frieze Art Fair did you want to make sure were maintained in this new virtual format?
Well, as you know, we really pivoted our thinking about how this digital format was going to be used once it became imminent that Frieze New York was going to have to be canceled, along with obviously every other event that was supposed to take place in New York City over the last couple of months. And what I was really hoping to transfer then into this ability to take the physical fair and move it into a digital form was to try to recreate some of the energy and some of the togetherness that I think that people feel when we all actually get together physically under the white tent on Randall's Island. And the question then was, how were we going to do that? The practical side of things, where we were just thinking about moving our regular programming and our special programming and our nonprofit sections, for example, into the structure of the online platform, that was fairly straightforward. But it was, you know, some of the more challenging things were, how do we make meaningful connections, again, between members of our community?
You know, what kind of conversations were you having with the galleries about how to display art virtually?
It's interesting. We did have a few conversations with galleries, and a few galleries modified their original proposals for what they wanted to show at Frieze New York in response to what was going on now in the world with the devastation of COVID-19, and that artists really wanted to, you know, be able to respond in real time to that as well. So we had discussions that went something like that. And then we had other discussions that were about how the galleries could no longer achieve what they were trying to achieve with their original presentations, because they no longer had access to the works and artists' estates, or they couldn't get the work photographed because of social distancing or the inability to travel. So it was interesting in terms of the way that they were thinking about what kind of art was going to be now present on the platform. But there were other questions that arose too, which again were just more about how to use the format to their advantage and what kind of images and videos to upload and how our back end would work. I think as in any crisis, maybe there's always a silver lining. And the silver lining in this instance is that our online platform became better because we were able to talk to galleries in a very focused way and use their feedback to improve what our offering was. And they never would have been so focused on it had, you know, we all not been in isolation and not been operating their brick and mortar spaces.
My guest is Lauren Randolph. We're talking about the Frieze Art Fair. She's the director. So for someone who wants to dive in this afternoon after work, pour a glass of wine and go to the Frieze Art Fair, where's a good place to start? How would you recommend someone approach this online experience?
It's so easy. I mean, you can either download the Frieze Viewing Room app, or you can go to viewingroom.frieze.com and register to log in. And then when you log in, you're taken to our homepage, and the homepage is broken down into three different sections. So you have the galleries, area of the fair, which is where our regular programming lies. So if you click into the gallery section under View All, you'll see listings that, like, subheaders that include Main, Focus, Frame, and Spotlight. And those are the headers for our sections in the fair, where you can find, like in the Main section, for example, some of the names that you mentioned previously, like David Zorner and Hauser and Wirth. In the Focus and Frame sections, those are the youngest generation of galleries. So Focus is a section for galleries 15 years or younger. Frame is solo presentations of artists from galleries that are 10 years or younger. And then in the Spotlight section, we show pioneering artists of the 20th century. So solo presentations of works that were made in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. And some of these different sections are advised by institutional curators in New York City. So the Spotlight section is advised by Laura Hopman, who's the executive director of the Drawing Center in New York. And the Frame section is advised by Laura McLean Ferris, who is the chief curator of the Swiss Institute in New York. And if you don't know anything about contemporary art, you can click some videos that are made by these curators, and they speak about, you know, their areas of the fair and their highlights. And Laura Hopman especially gives a kind of art history lesson in a 4-minute video about art of the 20th century. It's pretty amazing. So that's, you know, in the gallery section, that's pretty self-explanatory. We also have on the homepage our nonprofit area of the fair and our special programming. So if you want to get in, you know, a little bit more adventurous, you can go into the special programming area of the fair, where we have been able, I'm very proud to say, to transfer everything that we were planning to do as part of Freeze New York's programming into this section. So we had two special exhibitions and two special sections. So we've collaborated with Collective Design. This was a design fair that operated in New York City for a few years, and curator Libby Sellers to create an exhibition of art and design that sits across three rooms. We have two gallery-led sections, one in collaboration with El Museo Barrio in New York called Diálogos, showcasing artists of Latin descent. And then we also have a tribute to female artists of Chicago, which is curated by Julie Rodriguez-Widholm from the DePaul University Art Museum in Chicago. And that is just a thrilling area of the site for me, because I am enamored with a number of the artists that are here. So you've got artists like Gladys Nielsen, who is an original member of the famed Harry Hu in Chicago, and also a presentation by Gertrude Abercrombie with Karma Gallery. Garth Greenan is showing Gladys Nielsen, and she has these, she's dubbed the queen of the Bohemian artists, and she paints these small surreal style works, but I don't think many people knew her work before. So on top of that, when you're perusing these special areas of the fair, you can still, as you mentioned, there's a lot of market transparency. So
that's so interesting to me. I have to be honest, I went down a rabbit hole on this for a while.
It's super fun.
It is actually very fun. It's sort of, you know, you sort of have this moment of like, well, yes, why don't I just see what a Jenny Holzer or any of these artists who you admire and you see in any of the great, you know, institutions. What went into that decision, the transparency around cost?
Honestly, the galleries lead these movements, and so galleries were already putting pricing in their own online spaces. So a few years ago, when galleries that had the means, like David Zorner and Gagosian and others, were launching their own online viewing room spaces, and you could log in to see what they were offering there, they were including pricing. And that was really an interesting shift in terms of transparency in the primary market. So it was not unreasonable to think then that galleries would be open to putting accurate pricing on a platform like this. And we had over 80%. We made it optional, so it wasn't that everybody had to if they didn't want to. Of course, on the secondary market, there are challenges sometimes to presenting pricing because of privacy issues and issues with contracts with third parties and things like that. But for the primary market, I think that people want to be much more transparent now about what things cost. And so they did. And we really encouraged them to put pricing because we thought this would be one less barrier to entry for any potential collector who wanted to acquire something from the site. It would just be one less barrier to entry of those people being able to contact the gallery, having all the information at hand at their fingertips.
The app is really easy to navigate. You can download it and have a nice evening at the Freeze Art Fair tonight. Lauren Randolph, director of the Freeze Art Fair, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.